You are listening to the INCJ podcast, conversations about international criminal justice. Welcome to number two in a series called The COVID Practitioner Challenge. I'm John Scott, and this is an INCJ podcast and YouTube. COVID-19 is presenting a unique challenge to frontline services, not just in health and the social sector, but also in criminal justice. At INCJ, we wanted to find out how people working on the front line in prisons, probation, police, or with victims were handling the issues around COVID-19. So we've started an international conversation with criminal justice workers to ask about their experience of the crisis. Our hope is that sharing answers will help find solutions and fresh ideas, and highlights how practice will be changed in the longer term. Now, if you want to follow the series, you'll find it on our website at criminaljusticenetwork.net or on Twitter at INTCJNetwork. Now, let me introduce two prison staff from Slovenia. That's Katja Voch and Roman Oreshnik. Welcome, Katja and Roman. Now, tell us, first of all, where you're based. Where do you work?
We work at Maribor Prison in Maribor, which is the second largest city in Slovenia.
Yes, and what sort of a city is it? Is it an industrial city, or what sort of city is it?
I wouldn't say industrial. It's a regular city, a little bit smaller than you probably used to. We have, maybe Roman will tell something more.
Yeah. It was industrial, but yeah. As it was with those former Eastern countries, slowly turns down industrial-wise. So we are more touristically interested. We have the hill of Pohorje nearby with skiing, Golden Fox, and those competitions.
Okay, so, and do you have lots of snow at the moment?
No, the hills are a little bit white, but it's not now. Lately, it's poor with snow.
Okay, so how big is the prison you work at, Katja?
It's the second biggest prison in Slovenia, but it's not that big because we have a capacity of 140 people. So, yeah. And but for Slovenia, this is quite big, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you both got different jobs. So perhaps, Roman, you tell us what job you do first, and then we'll ask Katja.
Yes. Well, I'm a head of a department of work. My job is to coordinate the staff of about 20 instructors that work with prisoners, and they work in fields of keeping the house running. Plus, we have some jobs that we do for other companies, and we help them assemble some things, and we have zinc galvanizing and such, a bit of industry.
Okay. And Katja, what role do you have in the prison?
My role is called pedagogue, which is basically like a case manager. I got assigned some inmates when they come to the prison system, and then basically I guide them through the whole process. We work with all different departments, like, for example, Department for Work, Safety Department. Our goal is basically to guide the inmates back into the society, but to guide him into the crime-free life. So we talk with them a lot about their attitude towards the crime. We get to know them as much as possible, their family life, their background, yeah.
And in your prison, how many other people have the same job as you?
I think right now there are six of us. six. And then we have also social worker and psychologists and, different profiles.
There's a mixed group of staff that run the prison.
In my department, and of course there are other departments also.
Yeah, and are there security staff, Roman, as well?
Yes, from in security, I think it's about 70 guards or security staff. Yes,
and they operate shift pattern and
manage
it through the week.
Yes, okay. Yes.
Now I'm interested to find out what your normal day is like, Roman.
Well, my normal day. In my normal day, I have about two or three meetings with other heads of departments and with the director. We discuss the different things that are currently happening in our prison, where is our attention needed. Then I also have to speak with the new inmates and find out with department of Katya's department where we can find them to work, because we value very greatly their ability and willingness to work as something to which is recognized as something with their willingness to come in society as normal people, as productive members of society. So I have to help find their abilities, their willingness in which department I could offer them job. And then also some technical stuff with the other instructors, there are some issues that need to be addressed. And so it's very diverse job.
Do you have any placements outside the prison? Is all the work you provide inside the prison?
No, we have, well, it is inside the prison. Everything is inside the prison, but we have also two outer locations, two other locations, which are a bit smaller. And one of those locations also has workplaces, and this is also something I have to address.
Okay, so you have your hands full thinking about lots of different sites and then lots of different types of work you have to provide.
Yes,
because presumably some offenders are very able and have got lots of talents, and others are not so gifted.
Yes, those jobs are very different, of course. We have jobs that we can offer, and we are very happy to do this. Also for two people that are not skilled at all, that never worked anything. And we are able to offer them some jobs that are simple enough that they can show their willingness to try something and to focus on something and to endure in something. And we are very proud when we succeed with those people that can actually show some results.
Okay. Let's think about Katya. What's the shape of your normal day?
It's a normal day. It's every day is very different, I think. For me, at first I come to work, I check for example, my emails, the reports from previous day or from the weekend. And then it all depends what's happening with the inmates. So yes, we have some scheduled meetings every week, but from day to day, it's very diverse. So we get some messages from inmates that, for example, they want to talk with me, or something happens and I go and try to, provide them with some information, help them, advise them. And also it's a lot of collaboration between different staff also. We have to talk with each other, stuff like that.
Yeah. And do you have privacy and space to talk to people in the prison so that they're not overheard?
Yes, we have special rooms. We can take inmate with us, and then we can talk in private, of course. Yes. This is, I think, very important also for the inmate.
Yeah, okay. What I'm going to move on to is to ask a little bit about what the main impact of the COVID-19 pandemic has been on the lives of the prisoners over the past year. Because many of the people listening to this broadcast have maybe talked about being locked down, which is a prison phrase, isn't it? But they've been locked down in the comfort of their homes. And we've been asking people in prisons what it's been like to experience COVID whilst they're in a prison setting. So maybe we could ask you, Katia, first. Have prisoners found this a particularly hard time to be in prison?
I think yes, especially because the visits were, at first we started having visits between the class. So it was hard because you weren't able to touch the person that was sitting next to you, to hug your kids, everything. And then at one moment, we actually canceled all the visits. So we tried to find different ways to help the inmates to talk with their families. Like we gave them some free telephone cards. We launched some Skype visits so they can talk like we are talking now. But I don't think this is the same. And I think this was the hardest part for them, being able to see their families, to talk with them. Yeah.
And what was the impact on the prisoners of being cut off from their families like this?
I think they were concerned what was happening at home and also this feeling of not being able to help. This was really stressful situation for us all. And they weren't able to go home to help their families. Maybe somebody was out of job, somebody was having problems because children were at home. So yeah, it was frustrating. So we had to like talk with them a lot about their families and the problem. Yeah.
Did this, Roman, did this spill over into the prisoners in the work setting?
Yes, of course. We have a very big impact in work setting. We actually, a lot of prisoners that were better situated, that were better, that were not so, how should I say it, that had easier sentences, let's say. They were able to go and put their sentences on pause. They were let home. So we were at once with half staff than we had before. We have 30 less prisoners that could work than we have before. So we have to shut down all those unnecessary business workplaces. So we have left only with work that was needed for functioning of the house. So we had laundry, kitchen, and those things. This was at the beginning very, very difficult because other jobs also have orders and everything will need to be met. And we have about a 2-month period that we couldn't produce anything that was for the outer society.
And did that put pressure on your relationship with the other companies that you supplied services
to? Yes, yes, of course. They were sympathetic at first, but after 1 or 2 months, they were asking if we could not establish this production again, that they would have to turn other ways. So it was very difficult. But we wouldn't want to lose this because then we have nothing to offer to our inmates to work. They are also very keen to work. At least half of them wouldn't know what to do with themselves if this option would take away from them.
Because those jobs feel like real productive jobs.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Okay.
It means very much to them. You can see we have a lorry once in 2 weeks, that is filled with their products and goes out. And you could see the proud in their eyes when they see what have they put together, and that this stuff is needed, that it's not something that just so they are busy. Né? This work means a lot to them.
Okay, so how did you manage to keep those relationships with the outside companies going?
Well, we in-house we managed to agree which way should we organize ourselves so this work can be managed again, so that we could work. And so we managed to organize ourselves so that we have floors, and we have separated our house in some floors. We have a floor with those that don't work, and we have a floor with those that work. So if in case of pandemics, we have an outbreak in a house, we can separate and we can contain the spread of virus. So, and this way we were able to continue to work.
Okay. Perhaps we could switch back to Katia now. What changes did you have to make in the way you worked because of COVID?
First of all, obvious ones, wearing face masks, keeping the distance, then also all group activities was cancelled during the fact that we shouldn't have too much people in one room. So we had to provide inmates with other free time activities. We have to adapt a little bit. We had some chess tournaments, some art workshops, but in smaller groups. Also, every pedagogue has a group every week with all of his inmates. This was also cancelled, and all the people that come from outside into our facility to work, for example, with people that have problems with addiction, this was also all cancelled. So this was, we have to quite change the way we work.
And with those services just stopping, does it mean that things like a drug problem just stopped being addressed?
No, we also have the groups that are led by our pedagogues, and we also do, of course, individual work. But it's much better if you have different people working with them, of course. So I think it's a shame that this has to stop, but we are now launching it again. So I hope soon it will be back to normal.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I asked you, what do you think the biggest challenges have been for prison staff in Slovenia over the last year? What would you say? Let's start with Roman. What do you think the biggest challenges have been?
Well, we had we did some things when we had the virus in house. We have two or three cases. We agreed to test all staff with those fast tests to see if anyone is also positive without showing symptoms. So this was a weekly procedure. It was not taken very well by everyone. I don't know. We have some issues with, I have a right not to be poked in nose every week. And so there was some of that, but I don't know. Those masks are also pretty hard on people. Some can breathe beneath them. I don't know. Meetings also, yes, they are held at distance with open windows. Yeah, it's little things and a few bigger.
Okay. Well, we'll perhaps come to the bigger things in a moment. Katia, what would you say the biggest challenges were for you and your colleagues?
Like Roman already said, the meetings, we didn't really know how to do these meetings with all the departments together. we tried not to have them and have them over the computer, but it didn't really work because I think it's important that we see each other and we talk and share ideas and stuff like that. So this was quite challenging. And also, of course, working with inmates, we were advised not to see them, if not really important, but for them, a lot of things, basically everything is important. So as the lockdown began, I think they have been writing even more to talk with us because they had some problems at home or stuff like that. So balancing this out to try to keep them safe, to, for example, see them as, don't see them as much as before, but I don't think it was really possible to do this. So we have to search for some middle way.
Yes, and if you are tense and worried about your family,
yes,
lots of those tensions then are acted out in the prison, aren't they?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And have there been more problems and fights or disagreements in the prison?
This is quite hard to answer because I think the security department is maybe more in sync with that. But yeah, I think of course, probably,
Things have been a bit more volatile. Understandably, yes. If you feel cut off, that's going to happen. Let's move on and perhaps look at the bigger picture, because for the Slovenia prison service as a whole, the worries about testing, outbreaks, like every system, or whether it be schools or social services, the prison service has got to move very quickly. What do you think the biggest problems that they've faced have been?
I don't know. I don't think it was any clear strategy. You should do this, you should do that. It was kind of a left off to individual prisons to act more or less as they see fit. It was also by some law, I can't quote on this, but it put power to directors as prisoners, as home for older people and such, to for quicker reactions, to be able to quickly react to situations, to be able to decide themselves how to address some things. But I think it left a lot unsaid how to do some things.
So individual prison governors were left to make a lot of the decisions.
Yes. I think it was like that.
Okay. What about your view, Katia? What do you think the biggest problems for the service as a whole have been?
I agree. I think everything was changing really fast. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have a lot of time to make, I don't know, a plan. So everybody in the system, I think, had to adapt really quickly. This was a new situation. And I also think maybe just if I look at my profile, maybe some supervision, some educational seminars, everything was put on hold for this time. Maybe we have something via audio video system, but I don't think this is quite the same as meeting in person.
Yes, it's very hard, isn't it? Because everything's moving very fast. Do you feel that at your level in the prison, people have worked together as a team to do their best?
Yes. I think we are a really good team in our prison. And I think now maybe Corona showed us how important this really is, because it's the type of work that you cannot be an individual. You have to communicate every day with everybody, because you are not the only one that works with the inmate. And if we don't talk and we are not connected, then we can't really do our work, I think.
And your managers in your prison are in the same environment as you. They're having to make decisions day by day, are they not? And
yes.
And did they talk to the people on the ground about the best things to do each day?
Yes, I think they did. We have every week we have a meeting where we all sit down and we talk about the issues. And I think we have a management that really hears us out. So they take our ideas into the consideration. Yeah.
That's impressive. Roman, I want to change the discussion a little bit and ask if prisoners have brought you worries. Have they shared their concerns with you directly as they've been working?
Yes, I have to say I've noticed that they are scared of these situations for themselves in prison, if the outbreak comes in, as for their families outside. Many of those inmates are not in the best of health. They all have some problems, addictions, and anything else. They know they are vulnerable to this thing. May have serious consequences if they are exposed to it. And I also can say when we stop work in this production part, there were a lot of them asking when can they start work again. And so they were very, very eager to come back to work and to normal, some normal routine. So yes, it was a big impact on them, you could see.
Mm. Katia, as a case manager, do you think prisoners realized that they had someone they could talk to about their worries?
Yes, I think they do. They also have the ability to talk with prison officers. I think they're connected to them too. And I think we, at the beginning, when we get a new inmate, we have like this assessment interview, for example, something like that. And I think every pedagogue informs them who they have, that we can talk with them, that they can talk with psychiatrists if they need it. And stuff like that. They know where to seek help.
Mm. We've mentioned families already. Do you think that video connections with families will be sustained in the long run? Will family visits be overtaken by video contacts?
We actually already started having visits again, but behind the glass. But I hope that maybe this Skype thing will be that we will still have it, because we have a lot of foreigners in our prison from all over the Europe, and it's basically impossible for their families, like for example from Ukraine, to come to visit for 1 hour. So I think maybe this is something good from Corona, that we will maybe continue with this practice, at least for foreigners.
Okay, and so therefore integrate both video contacts and physical visits. Yeah, are there any other examples of new ways of working that should be developed or sustained?
No, but
that's a good one. Roman, anything new that's happened that you would like to see continued?
I don't know. I haven't noticed nothing so good that was new. We have tightened some security at work. We have to announce every entrance for work purpose in-house. This was also practice already, but now it is on another level, even higher. I don't know, not so many. We have already had everything quite organized. Okay. So this wasn't all.
What do you think the prisons learned from the pandemic experience?
I think we learned how important is to have inmates capable of working in a big enough number, so the work, the house can work, so everything can survive in the form that is useful for us and for them. That we have to work together, communicate a lot. In a few instances, it was shown to us that the communication was not good enough, and it was brought to our attention, so we have to address it, and it is better now. We have to communicate a lot, even more than we think we have.
Okay. That's really interesting. So what you're saying is to reinforce good practice and the value of work, and that's
yes.
really come home through the crisis. What about you, Katia? What do you think the prison has learned from the pandemic?
I think maybe that we are very dependent on each other, different departments, and also co-workers, because when maybe somebody was sick and him or she wasn't at the work, we saw that every piece is really important to make the whole service great. So maybe that.
Okay. I'm going to change the direction completely now and perhaps ask you to reflect as people what this last year has been like. And first of all, although this is a strange question to ask people who work in a prison, how do you escape, if that's the right word, from the pressures of being in prison? Katia, what do you do to escape from prison?
Escape, I don't really think that I have to escape, but I know what you mean. Sometimes you have to, when you come home, just forget a little bit about the job. I don't know, I listen to music, I go for a walk or for a run.
Perhaps unwind is then a better word than escape.
Yes.
What, Roman, what do you do to unwind?
Oh, I have many hobbies. For most of them, I don't find time. But last year, it took the worst for my life. I'm sailplane pilot, and I fly in sailplanes in local aero club. And last year, it was not my greatest year. I only flew a few hours. So for this year, I have a plan to up this number a lot.
Okay. So real new priority to make sure you do more flying. Okay.
Yes.
Has anything over the last year made you rethink your approach to work, Katia?
Not really. Maybe just became a little bit more grateful that I still have this ability to work with people every day. But I didn't really change my approach. I just, actually this year, 2020 was the year that I started working. So I just started working maybe a month or two, and then the corona hit, so.
Okay, so being thankful. Well, in English we have a phrase called counting your blessings.
Yes.
So if you start your career doing that, you maybe keep doing the same thing.
Yeah.
What about you, Roman?
Well, I think I've noticed, or I came to recognize, I have to be connected to people in my department more. I think on occasion they find themselves left behind, not hurt, or I think I have to talk to them more. This is main thing. I think we hear ourselves mostly when there are some trouble, they call or I check on them, but I think we have to communicate a lot more.
So not just when there's a problem,
but
part of being in touch when things are going well as well.
Yes. Okay. Many things come out when you talk just so casually, and think pop into mind. Yeah, this is another thing we have to say, and it's not just those that are most acute.
Do you think lockdowns changed you as people in any way? Katia,
I don't.
Okay.
I don't think I'm changed a lot. I believe I will cherish more those small things when you are free to do anything you want, to meet with anybody anywhere. This is for certain. But other than this, I don't know.
Cherish small things. That sounds like a good thing. What about you, Katia?
No, I don't think so. As a person, maybe just the fact that you can't really control anything, that things can happen over the night and just everything can change. So maybe I realized this a little bit more firsthand.
Yeah. You and is it about 7 billion other people?
Yeah.
It's a good lesson to learn. Now, I've been asking you loads of questions, and one of the things I've said to people is, do you have any questions that you can throw back at me to turn the tables? So I don't know whether you want to ask me anything about this subject. Do you want to throw a question back at me?
Yes, I think Katia had some one question already.
Oh, right. Well,
we spoke.
it's probably going to be a killer question, I can tell. Katia.
I don't know. You worked in this field of work for a long time in different jobs. Maybe what did you do to escape or to forget about work? What's your advice?
Okay, I had 4 kids. They never let me forget that they were more important than anything else. So I think I always reckoned I had one real gift, and that was that I could sleep. So I never lost any sleep through work, which was lucky. I could always sleep, so I felt I woke up with renewed energy. But to be serious for a moment, I think that people talk a lot, don't they, about the balance between work and, you know, out of work life. And one of the things that having a family meant that I really did need to make sure that I shared lots of their important life experiences. And I think although I had lots of other interests, I'm quite keen on sport and theatre, but I shared lots of things with my children, and so my interests with them meant that I was forced to make sure that I had plenty of outside interests as well. So I think that's how I kept this sort of balance. Whether they exhausted me as well is a topic for another question, but I think that's probably how I managed to survive. But the other thing is that I think it's probably true to say is that if you can somehow really, while you're at work, if you can really focus on work and then find a way of switching off, I think that was one of the secrets that I think I probably got from my mother and father, who both had quite big jobs. But when they came home, they were really at home, and that's what I tried to do. That was a bit self-revelationary there. So we'll cut that out of the final record. No. Promise we won't. Okay. So we're coming towards the end now, and thanks for being so sort of straight and answering so many different questions. What I want to finish off with is saying, well, do you have any COVID-19 advice for your colleagues, your criminal justice worker colleagues around the world? So should we start with Roman? Do you have any advice that you would like to share with any of your prison service colleagues?
I don't know. Perhaps find some hobby to practice at home. I don't know.
Start flying. I think that's
it. Yeah, this is a big, maybe my other hobby, buy a guitar and learn to play something.
I have a guitar in the corner of my study, which I haven't opened for months. So I'm clearly failing there. So, right, that's one piece of advice. Katia, what's your advice for your colleagues?
Maybe take this as the opportunity to, I don't know, to, like you said, have time with your family if you have the opportunity to be with them, and maybe also to, I think we all experienced this year how it's to lose our freedom a little bit. So for our line of work, this can also be an opportunity to understand maybe the inmates a little bit better.
And on that note, I think we're going to sign off. That's a very powerful last thought. And I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to say stay safe and hope you can join us next time, whether it be on a podcast or on a YouTube. I want to say thank you very much to Katia and Roman, and to say that you can find our podcasts available on your normal provider, whether it be iTunes or Google, and under the INCJ podcast label. And so to everybody out there, goodbye and thank you for listening. You have been listening to the INCJ podcast, conversations about international criminal justice. To find out more, go to our website at criminaljusticenetwork.net or follow us on Twitter at INTCJ Network.